Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Exodus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Exodus chapter 29, starting in verse 19 through verse 46. We see in today's text that the only man-made thing in heaven are Jesus' nail-pierced hands. Those same hands that we pierced are also the hands that will wipe away all of our tears. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Exodus chapter 29, verse 19.
Working in the land that I have given to them, as they bring those sacrifices to me, you are literally going to live off of them. You're going to feed off of them. And so that's what that's talking of here, that Aaron and his sons would receive a portion from the other tribes as they bring their offerings unto the Lord. And the holy garments, verse 29. And trust me, the end of the study, which is really not the end, the end of this chapter is where the climax of tonight's study is. So stay with me as we move through the rest of these verses here. It says in verse 29, and the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son, verse 30, that is priest in his stead, shall put them on 7 days, when he comes into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And you shall take the ram of consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron, verse 32, and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat, notice the words here in verse 33, they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made. Where the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but a stranger shall not eat thereof because they are holy. And so these animals that were used to make an atonement, what is an atonement? Atonement means to cover. It's a cover. That's what it literally means. And that's what these animals did. The author of Hebrews in commentary of this text, chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, maybe jot the verses down, check it out later. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 tell us this concerning this cover-up, this atonement. It says this, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Because what does atonement do? It doesn't take away sins, it covers sins. It's like makeup. It just covers the blemishes, right? Ladies? None of you men, right? You put makeup on because you're covering your blemishes. They're not really gone. The wrinkles or the pores or the pimple or whatever it would be, they're there. You just can't see them as well because there's, what is it, that stuff, foundation, makeup that you disguise yourself with. So when your husband wakes, who is that? You know. Because you don't really look like that. You're faking. You put the makeup on. It's just a cover-up. It doesn't take away. And that's what these sacrifices were. That's what I believe Paul, the author of Hebrews, was saying here. Is, hey, listen, these animals were to use to make an atonement to cover your sins, but not to cleanse your sins. He says, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, has sat down at the right hand of God. That's what Jesus Christ did. That's why he came into this world. These things were a type and a shadow of the work of Jesus Christ, that he would come, and that, as John proclaimed, he would take away the sins of the world at one shot, going to the cross, laying his life down for you tonight, if you're here and you don't know him, for you, that your sins can be washed away, not covered up. Interesting stuff. When we were at the conference again this week, I got to sit under Amir last night, and he was talking about what's going on back in Israel. And last night at sundown began Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. It's what we're studying. It's when they would go in back here in this time, Exodus, Leviticus, during the Pentateuch era. It's when they would go in, the high priest, once a year, right? And they would bring the blood of the lamb and make atonement, the covering of the sins of the nation of Israel. They'd sprinkle the blood on the Holy of Holies, in the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat. And that was all type of picture of Jesus Christ. He was talking about Yom Kippur today and what it's like there in Israel right now as we speak. What they would do is when Yom Kippur would begin, for 10 days that would start. This time, a time of prayer and a time of fasting, a time of repentance and a time of fasting. And in doing this, in the Jews that are doing this, and almost 75% of Israel participates in this. Even those who don't, even are not even practicing religion, they still just do this because this day is so sacred to them. In doing this, they claim that they are afflicting their souls and that they are gaining atonement, and that if their name just so happened to be erased out of the Lamb's Book of Life, it was written in there again after they did their deeds and afflicted their souls. And because they were so paranoid, because they knew how they lived the rest of the year, because they were so paranoid, they would participate every year just in case their names would be erased out of the book. No security, no assurance at all. A fear of, is my name still in there? Is my name still written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because in their minds, their sins have only been covered, not cleansed. And maybe you're here tonight, and you're not a Jew, and you don't practice Judaism and those types of things, but you hold the same type of theology. Maybe you're here tonight, and because you've never entered into a covenant relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only way, the only source of salvation, you have no security or assurance of where you're going to go when you die. When I talk about the things I'm going to get into, it's going to scare, I hope, literally the hell out of you. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean that seriously, literally, is what I mean. I'm going to go to Revelation in a few minutes and connect some dots for you. And I'm going to talk about a trumpet blowing. I'm going to talk about us who are in Christ meeting Jesus in the air. And you're going to think we're just as whacked out as you thought before you came in these doors. And that's okay. That's okay, because God's Spirit is bigger than your emotions, and He'll show you truth if you allow Him to. But you see, you will not have any security or assurance. You don't have a future and a hope like the prophet says the believer has if you have not entered into this relationship where Jesus cleanses your sins, that no works, no blood of an animal, no religious duty can ever replace. Every single year, these people, because they're on some trip, go back to this idea that originates here, where I put my hand on the head of the lamb, and my sins are transferred on him, the innocence is transferred on me, and it's just an ongoing cycle from generation after generation. That's where the atonement was made, a cover. And if aught of the flesh, verse 34, of the consecrations or of the bread remain until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it's holy. And thus shall you do unto Aaron, verse 35, and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shall you consecrate them. So these sacrifices that we're reading of, you're overwhelmed from two Wednesday nights of studying about blood and sacrifices. They did this every single day for 7 days straight during one of their ceremonies. And you shall offer, verse 36, every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And you shall cleanse the altar when you have made an atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days shall you make an atonement for the altar, and you shall sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. Folks, doesn't this, I know it's hard to listen to being read to especially, but even as we break here and we just stop for a second and just try to get our minds around this, doesn't it all make so much sense? It's so consistent all the way through to the Gospels. What touches the altar, And the thing that's going to touch the altar is the sacrifice for sins has to be completely holy without spot or blemish. We don't have to be theologians. Let's just break this down. Why? Well, how can another sinner die for sinners? Listen, let's say I said, I love you guys so much. I'm going to be crucified tonight for you. Well, that's great, and that's moving, and that's really touching, right? But at the end of the day, it wouldn't accomplish anything. I'm just a sinner like you. To be holy, to be spotless, to be blameless, to be faultless is impossible unless you are God or unless you are standing in God positionally because of his son, Jesus Christ. So this sacrifice or whatever would touch the altar where the sacrifice was made had to be holy, just like our sacrifice. We had to have a sacrifice that was both God and man. So simple. This is so simple. And so God the Father, God the Son, who is also known as Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever even in existence, came up with a plan because they knew that Adam and Eve would fall. And Jesus, as we're told in Philippians chapter 2, he wasn't robbed of his deity. He humbled himself. He took on the role of a servant. As we're going to see here in just a few minutes, the Word of God was made flesh so that he can dwell among us, and his whole purpose for living was to die. And he had to leave heaven, paradise, to come down to this earth in the form of a man, because how else could he make atonement, not just atonement, propitiation for folks like us? There's no other way because the sacrifice had to be completely sinless. Do you get it? He had to be completely sinless. And there's nobody that's sinless besides who? Jesus, God. And I want to be very clear because there's so much garbage out there. Jesus isn't just the Son of God. He's God. Jesus Christ, please leave here knowing this, is God. It's not good enough to just be the Son of God, is it? He is equal with the Father in heaven. He humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, and he came to this world born of a carpenter, born of a young virgin named Mary. And he gave up, in that sense, his deity. He completely relied on the Holy Spirit, just like you and I do for holy living. He was tempted in all points, yet he never sinned. And that's what made him able to go to the cross and be a sacrifice for us. The God-man, Jesus Christ. Isn't that crazy? Because that's the only remedy that would work to restore you and me back to the Father. Had to be holy. It was a prerequisite. It was an absolute requirement. There is no other way. At all. Not going to church. Not being a good little boy or girl. Not reading your Bible. Not praying. Not singing songs and lifting your hands. Not telling other people about things that are true concerning theology. But by pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. That's it. Whatever touches the altar, God said, must be holy. There's that which is holy. There's two things, two categories in this world. That which is holy and that which is not. That's it. Has to be holy. Now this, verse 38, this is where the gold nuggets just start happening quick. So put your A game on here. Let's go. You guys ready for this? Because this is where they just start flying, and I'm serious. There's so much here, and we're going to cram this in about 20 minutes. So stick with me. This is very important. Watch what happens here as we move through this. Now, this is that, verse 38, which you shall offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb shall you offer in the morning, and the other lamb shall you offer at evening. And with one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And in verse 41, the other lamb you shall offer at evening, and you shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This, verse 42, shall be a continual burnt offering. Notice, throughout your generations after generation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Every single day, God is saying here, every single day from here out, you as a nation, you as the people that I've called unto myself, I want you to take two lambs without spot, without blemish. And I want you to take these lambs, and one I want you to sacrifice in the morning, and one I want you to sacrifice in the evening. 28 times Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb of God, or in some phrase pertaining to being the Lamb, again, of God in the book of Revelation. This is speaking of Jesus. What I want you to do is when you wake up, have your mind set on Jesus, and when you go to bed at night, I want you to have your mind set on Jesus. This is the application for us. Remember, every tent of Israel, of all the tribes, as they were broken up on all sides of the tabernacle, were all to be pitched towards the tabernacle, facing the tabernacle. So when you wake up in the morning and you open your tent door, you open your windows and you drink your cup of coffee and you look out, the very first thing you're going to see is smoke ascending from the altar of the lamb that was sacrificed for you. When you go to bed at night and you shut your tent door, you tuck the kids in and you close up the house, the very last thing you're going to see when you lock up is a lamb being sacrificed for you, an innocent atonement being made for you. And that would be the very last thing that you would see before you go to bed. God says, this is what I want for my people. God says tonight to you, this is what I want for you. The very first thing that I want you to look at in the morning, the very first thing that I want your mind to be set on in the morning is the Lamb of God who died for your sins. I want you to get up every day and spend time with me, God says. If you're in Christ tonight, and you're here maybe and you're thinking, you don't understand. I got schoolwork. I got to be to work at 6 a.m. My hours are crazy. No. God says, I want you first thing in the morning. The scriptures say there's a promise made to only those who get up early. If you rise early, those who seek me early will find me. Now, this is just what God's word says. I'm telling you what God's word says. This is not what I've come up with. He doesn't say, hey, listen, if you want sleep in, seek me at noon. That's cool. No, he says, those who seek me early are those who are going to find me. The very first thing that I want you to see in the morning is not your iPad, is not who texted you through the night when you were sleeping, is not ESPN in sports, in SportsCenter and all that, not the weather for the day, not what happened on Fox News or 13 Wham or R News or any of those other things, not your email, not anything, nothing, not even your kids, not your wife, not your husband. The very first thing I want you to see, if I can make a dot, 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 parenthesis exception after you get your cup of coffee, of course, is me. I want you to see me in the very beginning of your day. And then I want you to close your day thinking about looking at me. Because it puts everything in perspective. When we go to bed at night, we're troubled so many times. We're frustrated with the affairs of the day, what happened at work, with our bosses, with our kids, with our spouses, and we're all stressed out, we're all bent out of shape. Maybe you're here tonight, maybe there's a good chunk of people here tonight that you can't even sleep without some pill. You need a sleeping pill. Because you're so troubled and plagued by the concerns of the day. And God says the remedy is, how to fix this, is set your mind on me. Those whose minds are stayed on the Lord, the prophet says, will have perfect peace. I want you to wake up to me, and I want you to go to bed to me. I want to be constantly on your mind, constantly looking to the Lamb who was slain for your sins. Everything's put in perspective. My troubles aren't so bad. I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm not home yet. This is not my home. I'm going home. I'm going to be with Jesus soon. My eyes and my heart's focused. Yeah, God, I'm going through these things right now, but your blood was shed for me, and I'm saved. It's not so bad. And my perspective is set for the day. My perspective is set to go to sleep. He gives me a peace. He gives his beloved rest. You shouldn't be plagued with, you know, thoughts and dreams that have you kept up all night long and tossing and turning and not being able to sleep. He gives his beloved rest. He gives us peace, those whose minds are stayed on him. Psalm chapter 1 says this. You know these verses, many of you. He says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, not his TV, not his girlfriend, not his boyfriend, not his piece of technology, but in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law does he meditate, not just in the morning, and say, I did my morning devos, I'm all good. I listened to 99.7, that's good enough for today. No, blessed is the man who meditates in the word of God day and night. Blessed is the man or woman who chews the cud of the scriptures. I use this example all the time because I don't think there's one that's better. What does a cow do? It grazes in the early morning. It eats the grass of the pastures that it's dwelling on. And their stomach is got some type of compartment where they store the grass, store the food that they eat. And throughout the day, they bring that grass back up that they ate earlier in the day and they chew on it. And then they swallow it and digest it again. God said, blessed is the man or woman of God who does that same very thing with my word. They read my word in the morning. And they don't just put it away for the day and say, I'll see you tomorrow, God. They bring it up all day long and into the night. Blessed is the man who meditates on my word day and night. This is what they will be like. A tree that is planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. That's what God has, he's ordained us to bear fruit. That the world can see the difference in us, the attributes, the characteristics of Jesus living within us. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, right? All of these different things. Does anybody have those without Jesus in them? Not for long. I want you to bear fruit. I've ordained you to bear fruit, Jesus would say. And also your leaf will not wither, and whatsoever you shall do shall prosper. That word wither means fade. How many Christians, maybe even you here tonight, you're fading away. You don't have joy anymore. You're not excited to be in the Word of God. You sit here during worship and you're twiddling your thumbs. You're texting. You're looking at that clock 5 minutes into the study. If that's you, man, you're in for it. 5 minutes.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.